Chama Beis, we're up to Oizayin. Right, okay. Now we start with some of the heavier topics of Asa V'Chalav. Till now, we talked about things that were cold and came into contact one with the other by touching or by spilling. Here we begin the topics of heat. It's a basic understanding that heat causes blias to travel, that heat causes taste to travel from one item to another. You'll know if you make a cholent and you leave it cold, nothing happens. And if you cook it, well, besides that the food cooks, the taste of the meat travels into the potato and it becomes a cholent potato instead of a plain, ordinary potato. So that there's a concept that blias travel through heat. Now, it's really a system of halacha can't work unless there are rules. There have to be basic rules of how we expect it to travel. Of course, we're going to learn the rules. If there's an exception, if someone sees that a bliya traveled beyond what happened, then there will be a different story, and something else would be true. So at any rate, if you saw a bliya travel some other way, it would be a different story. But everything depends on the bliyas being able to travel. Okay, aval im ein b'koyim v'loy mitovol b'tavlin. If you have meat that's not cracked, doesn't have a place for the milk to travel physically, v'loy mitovol b'tavlin, it's not spiced. I feel it sweetly, even if it's roasted, roiseach, and it's hot. So you have hot meat, nafal l'cholav tzaynein, and it falls into cold milk. Okay, so we're going from less serious to more serious. Here, the most serious, they're both hot. Here, you have one hot and one cold. So we have a rule in the Gemara that tatoi gavar, which is going to be this halacha. Tatoi gavar means that the lower item, sort of governs rules. In other words, if the thing on bottom is hot, we assume that it heated up the top for the blias to go through the whole thing. Now, the top one doesn't actually have to get hot, but when it comes into contact with something hot, the blias travel through the top one. The reverse is also true. If the top one is hot and the bottom one is cold, so again, the bottom one rules. Now, that means the bottom one is cold and the top one is hot. So we say that it doesn't have no effect, even though we say tatoi gavar, the cold one sort of governs, but it goes kidei klipa. It goes the thickness of a peel. Kidei klipa is the thinnest peel that a person can remove from something. So let's get back and see how this applies. Okay, we have a hot meat v'nafa l'cholav tzaynin, falling into cold milk. I feel an imlach ktsas. Doesn't matter if it's salty or not salty. Kaylef habasa v'shara basa mutter. All you have to do is take off a thin layer of the meat, and the rest of the meat is mutter. The kaimel on tatoi gavar. We say the bottom one rules. The bottom one is the one that rules, so to speak. Mikarer esa elyain. And since the bottom one is cold, it cools off the top one. But still, before it cools, it's belay a little lechein sarah klipa. Okay, so we said a lot of words, but this is the idea that the bottom is cold, top is hot. So what was the case? Hot meat falls into cold milk. All you gotta do is remove a thin layer of the hot meat. Now here it's important to note that we don't judge by the temperature of the item. In other words, Ademekele Bala says that if something hot falls into something cold, the top one cools off. For example, let's say someone has a cup and he pours in some hot milk. So the milk goes into the walls of the cup, kidei klipa. All it does is go in the thickness of a klipa. What's the difference? The difference is, if later he was to put in some some hot meat, hot chicken soup, the walls only have a kedei klipa of penetration to that are asa to asa the contents, and we assume in any cup that the wall that a kedei klipa is bottle b'shishim in the contents of a cup, okay, or a pot. So again, let's say someone had a cup, a pot, a storage container in which he poured hot milchix. We would say that the container only became aser kde klipa, a thin layer of the container became milchik. Now it's still milchik, but later, if a few hours later, after he emptied it of the milk, he would to pour it in hot chicken soup, so the chicken soup would not become aser. Now if the chicken soup is poured into something which is through and through milachix, it's going to aser because the contents of a pot don't have 60 times the walls of the pot. But since we have this assumption that when the bottom is cold and the top is hot, it only goes kedei klipa, it only goes in a very small amount, therefore later there would be shishim in the contents against the outside.
Yeah. Against the klipa.
Against the klipa. The klipa, the inside klipa. Right.
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 Against exactly. The klipa, not, yeah. Against the
milk. Not against the wall.
In the previous session, we learned that if the milk that's in the refrigerator goes into cooked meat, you don't say you have to throw out the meat.
We said if it has bekaim, if it has cracks.
Right.
That's why this began that avalit main by bekaim. Our discussion now, you're right. If the meat would be like most, like a cooked steak, which can physically fall into it, you'd be right. This rule wouldn't apply. We're talking now when you got a salami or a frankfurter, which is smooth on the outside, in by bekaim, and that's this discussion, okay? Because otherwise, you'd be right.
But the pots. In other words, anytime you accidentally take a milk or a fresh pot, it's not a problem.
No, because a pot is a klirishin. And the bleas go through and through. When you put it on the fire, it goes through and through. I'm talking now about like a storage container. Sure. Where you put hot stuff into a storage container, or a mug. Nobody puts a mug on the fire. So you might pour hot milk into a mug, but, or a bowl, you might pour in hot oatmeal. But it only goes to the klipa, so it won't answer what comes in later.
A storage
container, a bowl, anything that doesn't go on the fire.
What about the milk?
When the milk was poured into it's true. The milk we're going to have. The milk also absorbs the kedei klipa, but that's a concept. It's never a klipa.
But you have a large piece of milk, a large piece of meat, a little bit of milk. A kedei klipa might be a considerable amount of
I guess so, if it was a small amount of milk. All right. There's a rule of never a klipa, that if a klipa is lost, that we permit the liquid. But you're right, it could be that there's just a small amount of milk on the bottom. It could be. Now it's a very involved, this whole discussion is a rather complicated discussion. The rule is an easy rule that, when the top is hot and the bottom is cold, it only goes kedei klipa. The understanding of the rule involves a rather complex set of rules, which are not halacha rules, but assumptions of physical status. Now, I want to explain that without confusing the din itself. So let's first learn the din itself, and then I'd like to come back to an explanation. But for now, this Zion is talking where the top is hot, bottom is cold, and there's an exchange of blias. Only kedei klipa. Klipa being the thinnest layer that a person can peel off of whatever it is.
It doesn't matter which way. If you pour hot milk on cold meat or hot meat.
Oh, so he's going to say that now the other way as well. Right, as long as the top is hot. He says that here. Vafilu atzli shei... Well, first he says one more thing. When you have the hot meat into the cold milk, afilu atzli, even the hot roasted meat, sheker b'teicha cholav, it sinks into the milk. Now it's on bottom. And the milk, which is liquid, is now going to cover it. It's not now like cold on tahat. Whatever is in its place governs. Since the milk is in its container. Now, as you started saying, the reverse. where the top is hot milk. Chalav reseach should not fall abasat zaynein. If you pour hot milk on cold meat, baby iroi shenifsak hakiluach. Whether when you're pouring it, the kiluach, the flow is still connected to the keli. Oh, loy nifsak hakiluach. Or not. Loy nifsak hakiluach would be a spritz. When challenge spritzes, are you handling the challenge and challenge is flashing? And it spritzes onto something that's called iroi shenifsak hakiluach. It's not connected still to its source. So whether it's nifsak hakiluach, the first one means it's disconnected. Like loy nifsak hakiluach, or it's connected. Loy lomtsar klipa v'day b'zeh. It always needs klipa, and that's adequate. So again, the first case was a hot solid falls into the milk. It becomes asagadei klipa. The second is where the hot liquid falls onto something. It only penetrates kadei klipa. Klipa meaning a peel. There's no thickness to the peel. Anything you can peel off together is considered kadei klipa.
Now, the fact that we have a lot more sophisticated ways today, scientifically.
We don't have scientific ways of measuring taste. We have our taste buds.
Not taste, but in terms of penetration.
Well, we're talking about penetrating enough to give taste. If it penetrates, but not enough to give taste, then it doesn't answer because the rule is tam ki ikar. If the taste penetrates, it's like the ikar itself.
You're saying, ashes can take leap on the top one and the bottom one. So what's the difference between tatoa govar or yiloa govar?
If tatoa govar, then if the bottom is hot, then it asks bekulai, because that's a clearishin, tatoi gavar. So tatoi gavar means it asks a to, the bottom is hot when asked totally. If yiloi gavar, then if you would hold yiloi gavar, then you would hold if the bottom is cold, top is hot, then it asks the whole thing. We hold tatoi gavar and only the bottom. Yeah.
So are we saying that the amount of penetration is irrelevant? It goes by taste.
The amount of penetration, right. So these are assumptions of taste. Now if someone were to take off a klipa, taste the meat and have a milky taste that penetrated more than a klipa, it would still be awesome. These are the default assumptions and you're allowed to rely on it. There will be cases where it may penetrate more. Now, one of the common examples of this halacha is the kitchen sink. Or a dishwasher. The question of whether the sink is treif or the dishwasher. Now, lechatchila, we don't cook, we don't wash fleshing dishes and like a dishwasher or the reverse. However, let's first talk about the sink. You remember in the olden days when they had one sink. Today, if a boy in my share is moving into a kitchen with one sink, he comes, he says, what in the world do you do? Are you washing in the bath? No, we once had it. So you remember we used to have these racks. Now the racks were only an inch off the sink. What does that do? The water piles up. So what it basically does is separates a kadei klipa from the bottom. Now, it's a little more complicated than this, but the basic idea is that even if you were to pour hot water from a kettle into the sink, And it would only absorb, that water would only absorb a kadei klipa from the sink itself. In other words, if the sink is treif or fleishig, so melachix, it would only absorb a kadei klipa, and the fact that the rack is more than a klipa off the ground would, so to speak, save you from the issue. In the case of a dishwasher, if you will agree that a dishwasher is iri, okay, some dishwashers have eating elements. There are many dishwashers. Dishwashers don't fill up like washing machines. Dishwashers work with spritzing water. The water comes to the bottom. And some dishwashers have a heating element in the bottom. So if the water comes to the bottom, it reheats and is reused. It's used again. It goes up through the piping and gets spritzed again. And there's a certain amount of disagreement as to what that does. And there are five cone holds that says there's a thing on the bottom, the whole dishwasher is a klirishin lamish. That's what he holds. Not everyone necessarily agrees with that, and not all dishwashers have a heating element. But the point is that assuming it's an iroi, that means no dishwasher could ever answer a keli from its walls. Because the keli is always, we can talk about the racks, but as far as the walls of the dishwasher, the walls of the dishwasher are always a kadei klipa away from any pot, unless something fell out, would always be a kadei klipa away. even on the rack itself, to make the rack, let's say, fleishiks, a spritz would have to hit the meat within a k'day klipa of the rack itself, which could happen. But you have to remember, the spritz only asses at the time of contact, and only a k'day klipa. So while we designate the dishwashers as fleishik exclusively, or milchik exclusively, we don't, b'di'eved, we don't forbid things that were put in properly, because of the fact that we have this k'day klipa rule. Yeah, the k'day klipa rule. One for both.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know any Paiskim that hold it's okay. That people might have it, I understand, but I'm not aware of Paiskim.
Right, very, very hot.
They get very hot, okay. Okay, so I'm not aware of Paiskim that hold you can have one for both. It's unfortunate if some people do. Now,
they
the
change the
rats.
The
what? Do they
change the rats?
Do they? I doubt it. People that use one probably don't change it.
The metal pieces where the water comes out, it's a lot of metal pieces there.
What's the matter? It's metal. Anything is by layah.
Yeah, anyway,
my gosh. Now, so this is the basic rule of Eroi. Now, in Lomdis, the Chavos Das has a famous piece in the Sugya. He has the following question. Let's say I have a cold piece of cheese. And on top of it, I put a hot piece of chicken. So I say, ad demeker lebola, that the bottom one cools the top one. So that only goes k'day klipa. Now what happens if I put something on top of the hot chicken? You follow?
Yeah.
I have a cold piece of cheese, and I put it on a hot piece of chicken. We say it only goes k'day klipa, ad demeker lebola. So now someone carbs and he puts a piece of cold cheese on top of the hot chicken. Do we say ad demeker lebola? Cools off the top one? Not so logical, because it appears to be hot. Or do we say, well, only in relationship to the bottom one is it cooled off, but it itself is not cooled off.
But the cold
so,
of the bottom
yeah.
already cooled off the hot chicken. Over there.
So that's the question. Will a slice of American cheese actually cool off a piece of hot chicken?
No.
Well, you do it on the bottom?
You have a cold piece of, you have here a piece of American cheese, and you put a piece of chicken on top. You think the chicken will get significantly colder?
No.
More so than you put it on a plate?
Yes.
Yeah, well.
It's cold.
Well, we'll have to experiment, but don't use American cheese.
My understanding is that it cools it off at the point of where
point
it's
of
being
contact.
Layer. But you know, that's why you only have to do a klipa. But that's...
Okay, that may be accurate. That's what
you know,
he says.
I'll
tell you.
What?
It's not klirisha, but if it's a davar gush, if it's a hot piece of meat, if it doesn't cool off, then it's, The Ramesha has a fascinating kula based on this. When you're using hot water from the sink, that's irik klirisha. The water's coming from the boiler, and it's still connected, loy nifsak hakiluach, the flow is straight from the boiler to coming out of your sink, so that's irik klirisha. Ramesha says, look, there's a din of ademekele bala. That if you put hot water into a cold container, it doesn't go more than k'day klipa. So Ramesha maintains that the same thing is true if you mix cold water into the hot water when it's coming out of the tap. In other words, if you use pure hot water, that's irik klirishin. If you have some cold water mixing into it, even if the resulting mixture is very hot, the rule of ademekele bala would apply. Because logically, if walls that are cold cool off, in the eyes of halacha, cool off the food or the drink, then cold water which is mixed in should certainly do the same. And therefore, Rabbeisha writes that, and this is when people call with kitchen sink shilas, the first question that I ask them is, did you use pure hot water? And they say it was very hot. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, did you use pure hot water? And that's, and Rabbeisha writes in the tshuva, that temperature doesn't determine the heat. There's a certain quality of heat. When heat when something is cooling rapidly, it doesn't have the power to penetrate as much. In other words, if something's 150 degrees, it gives off bleus. But if something is 200 degrees and it's quickly cooling down, it's at 150, it won't. because there's a certain quality to the heat beyond the exact temperature of the heat. That's Ramesh's position, and basically we follow that.
A lot of them, when you push back, it's not like two separate knobs. It's
the stick controls.
It's not at the fall up.
Usually now you really have to test because there are, most of them are that way. There are some, the way to test is you turn off the hot water under the sink, the hot water valve, turn on the water and put the stick all the way to the left. If there's a trickle of cold water, you have a problem, if there's a trickle of cold water for basa b'cholov, you have a benefit. You're always going to have some cold mixed into the hot, and you're going to be good. Now, if you push it all the way to the right and you shut off the cold water, and you get some hot water mixing in, theoretically you could have a problem of cooking on Shabbos when you use it. It's really not an issue as the resulting mixture is going to be cold, so you put hot water into cold water, but it's cold. It would be a secretion problem. That would depend. Usually it's not. So at any rate, getting away from the sink issue, this is the din of Ademekalei Bola, the din of Tatoi Gavar, and next time we're going to get into the halachis of when they're both hot, which is going to be ches.